Speaking on this program is Randy Key.
I want to speak to you for the next few minutes concerning the great invitation, the great invitation. Most Bible students will immediately recognize this as being Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. The Lord says here, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Can you imagine some preacher standing before you this evening and simply making or giving that invitation? Can you imagine a mere man giving and uttering that invitation? I've known some wonderful preachers through the years, but I don't know of any preacher that it would sound right coming from if he would just stand and make that statement, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No mere man could ever utter such a statement or give such an invitation. There have been some eminent and even profound philosophers, educators, theologians, political leaders, but none can give this invitation. None can give this statement or make this statement. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can give this invitation and utter such an invitation to us. Now, as we begin this evening, I want you to think about the profound nature of this invitation. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That invitation was uttered about 2,000 years ago. It has been extended ever since, and it continues to be extended this evening. Sometimes in a gospel meeting like this, or at a regular service of the Lord's church, preachers will say, "We will be giving or extending the invitation." Of course, by that they mean in a public way. But the Lord's invitation and the invitation of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, was extended 2,000 years ago almost now. And it has always been extended 24 hours a day. The Lord says, "Come." Notice here, the Bible does not teach that God comes down from heaven to each individual. Christ does not come down and appear to each individual. Someone says, "Well, what about Saul of Tarsus?" Well, Jesus did not appear to Saul of Tarsus to save him. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus to qualify him to be Paul the Apostle. In Matthew 26, verse 16, in fact, the Lord himself says, "This is the purpose that I've appeared unto you, to make you a witness." To make you a witness. Saul of Tarsus had to go to the city, believe and obey the gospel plan of salvation just like anyone else did. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus because he was born out of due season. And for Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul and to be qualified to be an apostle, he had to be a witness of the resurrection. That's why the Lord appeared to him. But Jesus does not come down from heaven and appear to people individually. God does not come down and do that. The Holy Spirit does not come to each individual. But the Bible says, "Come." We come to God. Christ says, "Come." We come to Christ. Even the Holy Spirit says, "Come." The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Revelation 22, verse 17. So heaven invites us. God says, "Come." Christ says, "Come." The Holy Spirit says, "Come." The Bible speaks about the gospel call. God does not speak or call each individual personally and individually. But the gospel call is heaven's invitation. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation." Romans 1:16. "It is the word of God that saves us. Received in meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." James 1 and verse 21. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you believe and wherein you stand, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you." So the gospel is to be preached, it's to be proclaimed and received, it's to be embraced. We stand upon the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. The only call that God has extended for the past 2,000 years is the gospel call. There will be no other call. If you're waiting for another call, you'll die waiting. The only true call from heaven is the gospel call. And that's why the Lord said in the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Matthew 28:18. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Verse 16 of this same chapter. And so this is the gospel call. It is the word of God that is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. It is through the power, therefore, of the word of God that people are convinced, convicted, and converted. The gospel is God's power. It is His call. It is His universal invitation. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We learned Sunday, 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is to both preach and practice the truth and uphold the truth. This is the invitation. This is heaven's call. This is the gospel invitation. This is the great invitation. God says, "Come." Christ says, "Come." And the Holy Spirit says, "Come." God does not come down to man. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Man comes to God. God does not come to man. Man comes back to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God was bringing the world back to Himself. Now we choose whether or not we accept the invitation, respond to it. But nevertheless, God says, "Come," and we come back to God. And Jesus, the Son of God, says, "Come." And this is the invitation of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. The great invitation. Three questions. One, why should we come to Jesus? Why should we come to Jesus? Let's answer this. You need to come to Christ this evening because He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the only begotten divine Son of God. John says these things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that believing you might have life through His name. John 20:30-31. In the very first chapter of the book of John, a book about the deity of Christ, John says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." That is, Christ was not only co-eternal with the Father, coexistent with the Father, He is in fact deity and God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That is, Christ was with the Father. And the Word was God. That is, He is deity. The word God in the Bible means deity or divine nature. Sometimes God the Father is called God, sometimes Jesus is called God, and sometimes even the Holy Spirit is called God. That is, all three personalities in the Godhead possess the divine nature. But in John chapter 1, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is said to be deity. He is the divine Son of God. And you need to come to Him this evening because He is the divine Son of God. This is not some mere human inviting you to come to Him. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so you need to come to Christ this evening because He is the divine Son of God. We have a divine Savior, not a human Savior. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus Christ is a created being. This is false doctrine. This strips Jesus Christ of His deity. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is deity. He possesses the divine nature. And John chapter 1 is an affirmation of this. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Himself, God's Son and the Son of God, possessing the divine nature. You need to come to a divine Savior this evening. Number two, you need to come to Jesus Christ because He is the only one that can save you. Some 700 years before Jesus was ever born, the prophet Isaiah said about the crucifixion, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Jesus died in our stead. He died for us. He's the only one that can save us. Only the blood of Christ can wash away sins. The Bible says He loved us and washed us in His own blood. Revelation 1:5. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26 and 28. And then in Romans 5 and verse 9, much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. One of our modern translations takes the word blood out of the text of the Bible and inserts the word death. Many people have died, but only the Son of God shed His blood when He died for the remission of our sins. And the modern translations mutilate the gospel of Christ, rob Jesus of His deity, and take away the power of His blood. Stay with a reliable translation of the Bible and avoid the modern translations. The Bible teaches us that only Jesus can save us. You need to come to Jesus this evening because He is the divine Son of God. You need to come to Jesus this evening because He is the only one that can save you. At the time of His birth, Matthew says about this, "She shall bring forth a son," referring to Mary, "and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Matthew 1 and 21. Later, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And if He can save the chief of sinners, He can save you this evening. Come to Jesus because He is the only one that can save you. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, as Christians now, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. Come to Jesus this evening because He is the only one that can save you. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Hebrews 9:24. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 9:26. And Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. The Apostle Peter wrote about His blood and the shedding of His blood, and he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, with the precious blood of Christ, who like a lamb was offered without spot." 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Only Jesus can save you this evening. And if you're going to be saved, you must come and kneel at the cross and submit your life to Him. Only Christ can save you. And that's why He is the one that extends the invitation. The Savior extends the invitation. Come to Jesus this evening because He has all religious authority. He does not share that authority with anyone else. He does not share that authority with a creed book or some synod or council or a catechism or some religious writing from men. He does not share that authority with the Pope. He does not share that authority with some gospel preacher even. He does not share that authority with anyone. Right before He ascended into heaven, He claimed this authority given to Him by God Himself. "All authority or power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth," and that's all of it. Jesus has all authority in religious matters, and He doesn't share that authority with anyone else. And if we do something this evening in the name of Christianity, in the name of religion, we need to do it by His authority. And if we're doing it by someone else's authority, it's vain religion. Jesus says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15, verse 9. "And the commandments of men turn away from the truth." Titus 1, 14. So you need to come to Christ this evening because He's the only one that can save you. And you need to come to Jesus Christ this evening because He is the one clothed with all religious authority. He doesn't share that authority with anyone else. During the great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, this is really the Lord's Prayer, John 17. Most of the time we call Matthew 6, where Jesus taught His disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, but really John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 is better described maybe as the disciples' prayer, because that's the prayer that we are to pray. Now, in John 17, verse 2, among other things, Jesus claimed all authority. In fact, He claims here that God the Father gave Him all of this authority, and He said, "The Father gave Him authority or power over all flesh. Every person living today is amenable to the will of Christ and subject to it. And one day on the day of judgment, the will of Christ will stand as the standard." Now we realize, of course, that people who lived prior to the cross will be judged by the law under which they lived. people outside of Judaism, even in the Old Testament, outside of Israel, they will be judged by the light and the revelation that they had from God through the various prophets that gave them God's Word. You know, there have been prophets all the way back. Even Jude says in Jude verse 14 that Enoch in Genesis 5 was a prophet. So God has always revealed His will to man. Even back at the beginning of time, God has always communicated and revealed His will to man. So people outside of Israel will be judged by the light and the revelation from God they had. People within the nation of Israel under the Old Testament law, while that law was binding, will be judged by the Old Testament law of Moses. But you and I today live on this side of the cross, and we will be judged by the word of Christ, the New Testament. And that's why Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. I have not spoken of myself. The Father hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." God's word came through Christ. Christ's word came through the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament, and they wrote it and recorded it. Paul says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as a wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Ephesians 3:3-5. So God's word came through Christ and the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. And here it is this evening. Jesus exercises all authority through this word. And this word will be the standard on the day of judgment. And everyone on this side of the cross will be judged by this word. You need to come to Christ this evening because He has all religious authority. Paul says, "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ." Colossians 3:17. We said Sunday, it bears repeating, whatever you do in word, that's teaching. And deed, that's practice. So whatever you do in word or deed, teaching or practice, have the Lord's authority for it. The name we wear, the word we preach, the church of which we are a member, the worship we engage in, the way the church is organized, the mission of the church, whatever it might be with reference to Christianity and things that are spiritual, we must have Bible authority for these matters. And in the absence of Bible authority, God does not sanction it. You start with Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. God has never allowed man to write his own Bible. Never. Man has never been allowed to go his own direction in religion. You need to come to Christ this evening because He has all authority. The Mount of Transfiguration, when the deity of Christ came through and burst out of His fleshly tabernacle, the voice that came from heaven and said in the presence of the disciples, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." We must hear Christ today. He is the one with all religious authority. So come to Christ this evening. He's the only one that can save you. Come to Christ this evening. He has all religious authority. Come to Christ this evening. He is the divine Son of God. Number next, come to Christ this evening because He is the only mediator between God and man. We realize that human theology has indicated to us through the centuries that a mere man can stand between another mere man and God. But this is false doctrine and contrary to the New Testament. Paul says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. He ever lived to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. There are three terms in the New Testament. Intercessor or intercede, advocate and mediator. And they all three refer to this work of Jesus as the one who goes between God and man or who stands between God and man. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. The Apostle Paul, if he be the writer of the Hebrew letter, the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter, makes this affirmation about Jesus and this work. Having therefore Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one who appears in the presence of God for us, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Isn't that a wonderful passage? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14-16. Jesus Christ is the only one that can occupy that position. If you're going to come back into a right relationship with God, it must be through Christ. It must be through Christ. You must come to Christ this evening because He is the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one that qualifies. Hebrews chapter 2 now, verse 17. Wherefore, all things that behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that is, to be made like unto us, took upon Himself the robe of flesh, the form of flesh. Why? So that He could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Hebrews 2, verse 17. That's why Jesus came into the world. You know, when someone says something like, if God would have wanted to have saved the world some other way, He could have. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. If man was going to be saved, this was the only way. The only way God could save man was send His Son. Didn't Jesus pray in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? Was not possible. Was not possible for that cup to pass. The cross had to be. If we were going to be saved, it had to be through the cross. There's no other way to save us. It behooved Him, the Hebrew writer says, to be made like unto His brethren. It was essential, it was necessary for Him to do this, so that He could qualify Himself to become a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the privilege now of a Christian. If you're not a Christian this evening, by the way, you cannot call upon God as your Father. Every accountable person in the world this evening is either a child of the devil or a child of God. If you're not a Christian, you're a child of the devil. You cannot call upon God as your Father. You're still lost and undone and without God and without hope this evening if you're not a Christian. If you've never obeyed the gospel, that's your condition. And if you don't believe this, listen to this verse. Before their conversion, the Apostle Paul described the Ephesian brethren as follows. At that time, you were aliens, number one. You were strangers, number two. You are without hope. You are without God in the world. Without hope, without God, strangers and aliens. That's the description of lost people this evening. They are without hope. They are without God. And they are without Christ. And they are aliens. The word alien means separated, estranged from God. And every accountable person. You need to come to God this evening because you are away from God. You need to come to Christ this evening in the next place because you are away from Christ. And you know how you got there? Sin. Sin. The Bible says sin is a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. In James chapter 1, 13 through 15, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In the New Testament, the word death is used two ways. Sometimes it refers to physical death, sometimes it refers to spiritual death or separation from God. In James 2:26, the body without the spirit is dead. That's physical death. When your soul or your spirit leaves your body, you're dead, physically dead. But in James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's spiritual death. That's separation from God. You're away from God because of sin. And sin takes you away from God. And when you become a Christian, you come back to God. And that's why Jesus says, come to me. Because you're away and you have to come back. Paul says, all have sinned, fallen or come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the whole world is guilty before God. Romans 3:19. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and that sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. So if you're an accountable person this evening, you're either a Christian or you're not. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. One or the other. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never obeyed the terms of salvation in the New Testament, you do not have the right to call upon God as your Father. You need to become a Christian, and then you can pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And not until then. So you need to come to Christ this evening because you're lost in sin. You need to come back because you're away. You need to come to Christ because He's the Son of God. You need to come to Christ because He's the only mediator. You need to come to Christ because He's the only one that has religious authority. You need to come to Christ because He's the only one that can save you. And He's the divine Son of God. And when you listen to what Jesus says, that's what God says. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by or through His Son. So when we hear Christ, we hear God. And the only way we can hear Christ is by hearing or heeding His Word. Now remember, Jesus says His Word will judge us in the last day. And this is my last point under this section. Jesus is the one that extends this invitation. And now He stands as our Savior. And now He can save even the chiefest of sinners. But one day He'll be our judge. In Acts 10:42, the Apostle Peter says at the household of Cornelius that God has ordained Christ to be the judge of the living and the dead. And in 2 Timothy 4:1, when Paul gave the charge to Timothy, he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, or the quick and the dead, at His appearing in His kingdom. God gave him authority to execute judgment. John chapter 5, verse 22, and again in verse 27. He that cometh down from above is above all. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into His hand. John 3:31 and John 3:34. Jesus one day will be our judge. And the standard that He will use will be His Word. Even the psalmist in the Old Testament said that God would come and would judge the people with His truth and with righteousness. Psalm 96 and verse 13. So God's truth will be the standard. Paul says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth. Romans 2:2. We must give an account of ourselves unto God, Romans 14:12, and one day it's coming. We must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And so this evening, you need to come to Christ because one day He will be your judge and His Word will be the standard. Now that's my longest point. I said 3 points, that's the longest one. These next two are going to be short. How do you come to Christ? In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, the Lord said this, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, here it is. You cannot come to Christ without being taught the truth. You have to hear the truth or be taught the truth or at least read it out of the New Testament. There is the process of hearing. Notice the order here. The hearing, the learning, the coming. Everyone who hath heard of the Father, learn of Him, then He comes. There's the hearing and the learning and then the coming. No one has ever become a Christian without learning the truth of the gospel. And where the Word of God has not gone, there is no such thing as a Christian. That's why it's so important for the church to preach the gospel on the radio, on the TV, by the tracts, by inviting people to gospel meetings. Write them a letter. Invite them to the services. Do what you can all the time. Sow the seed. That's the only thing we're responsible for, sowing the seed. I want to make a parenthetical statement here, and I want to insert this here because this is a good time to speak about this for just a minute. Sometimes in recent years I've heard people say this, the Church of our Lord is just not growing like it used to. And I think about this, I was baptized in 1972, and I've been preaching about 18 years now. And there were periods of time, many years back, most of you have, all the older folks here, remember the time when the church was growing and the numbers were increasing greater than they are today. But have you ever thought about the fact that, those of you who are older, don't you know dedicated Christians today who spend their lives working for the Lord? I do. I still believe the church is filled with dedicated men and women who put the kingdom first and who have the spiritual welfare of others first, and who do all they can to get people to come to gospel meetings. They give them tracts. They say, oh, listen to the radio program, watch the TV program. They write them letters. They encourage them. They exhort them. They try to show them the film strips. They try to get a correspondence course started. There are still people working like this. I know they are. I know them personally. So why isn't the church growing as far as numbers today? Did you know that there's such a thing as in season and out of season? There is. What's the mission of the church? The mission of the church is to preach the gospel and to sow the seed. There will be times when it will be in season and a lot of people will obey the gospel. But then there'll be times when it'll be out of season. And because of various forces at work, fewer people will obey the gospel. But the church is still doing the same thing it's always done. It still has dedicated members in it. And so I want to tell you something this evening. If you're a dedicated Christian, and sometimes you become discouraged because you don't see great numbers of people obeying the gospel, you're not alone. Because the Bible even says that Jesus lost a lot of people in John chapter 6. From that time, many of His disciples went away and they walked no more with Him. What did Jesus do? Did He say, "Wait a minute, come back. I'll change my doctrine. If you'll just come back, I'll change everything I've taught." Did He do that? No, He didn't do that, did He? He never compromised the truth. Jesus never compromised the truth, either to gain or maintain a large group of people. The apostles of Christ never compromised the truth, either to gain or to maintain a large number of people. In fact, the Bible says most people are on the road to perdition this evening, and that's where they've always been. Most people will be lost. Jesus said that. But the mission of the church is to sow the seed. Keep sowing the seed. Keep having radio programs. Keep passing out tracts. Keep writing letters. Keep inviting people. Keep having gospel meetings. Sow the seed. Be instant in season, out of season. That's the mission of the church. Sometimes a lot of people obey the gospel. Sometimes very few will. So don't be discouraged. Just keep sowing the seed. But I thought that was important. How do you come to Christ this evening? That's the second question. You come to Christ by hearing and learning the truth of the gospel. You don't come to Christ by listening to a creed book, following the majority, depending on the way you feel about it. In fact, I know a man in the Bible that said, I thought that I was doing, that I should do at least many things contrary to Jesus. I thought I was serving God. Paul said that, Acts 26, verse 9. He thought he was doing what was right, when actually he was opposing God. So don't go by your feelings. Don't go by the majority, or don't go by what some preacher says. How do you come to Christ this evening? You come to Christ the way He appoints, in His own appointed way. And that's the only way anyone's ever come to Christ. You come to Christ this evening the same way they did in the first century. The same gospel is here today. In fact, the Bible says, "All flesh is as grass, the glory of man is the flower of grass, the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." 1 Peter 1:24-25. The word of God still says the same thing. If you're going to become a Christian this evening, you're going to have to go to the Bible and do exactly what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. That's how you come to Christ, and no other way. There's not one plan for you, and then one plan for you, and, well, I did this to become a Christian, and I did something else. Oh, no. There's one gospel plan of salvation, and everyone must believe and love and obey that one plan of salvation as they obey, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." I hear a lot of people today talking about how they love God and love Christ. But the only biblical way that you can demonstrate your love for God in Christ is by obeying the Word of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hear the Word of God and keep it." Luke 11:28, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." John 14:15, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Now listen to this. "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's John. He probably wouldn't have lasted very long today in some of our pulpits. But John says that. Do you know God? Do you love God? Someone tells me they love God, they know God, and then you turn to the Bible and they say, "Well, I know the Bible says that, but I'm not going to do that." John says you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Don't stand there and tell me you love God, but turn a deaf ear to the Bible. Because John says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments, and he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." This is the love of God, in fact, John says, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 3. That's how you come to Christ. Find out what the Lord says to do and come to Him the way He has appointed. That's the only way. When you hear the word of the gospel, the truth, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus says, "Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come." John 8:24. You must repent of every sin, renounce sin in all of its forms. Paul says God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. That includes you and me this evening. We have to repent. We must be baptized as we confess our faith in Jesus to be the Son of God. Paul says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Bible baptism is a burial in water. Romans 6:4, Paul says, you are buried with him in baptism, and then you're raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. Have you done that? That's the Lord's appointed way. That's the way you become a Christian. You believe in Christ, you repent of your sins, you're baptized, immersed, as you confess your faith in Him to be the divine Son of God. That's the only way anyone has ever become a Christian, and if you're going to become a Christian this evening, you must do it that way. Not because Randy says it, or Jim, or some other gospel preacher, but that's what the Bible says. This, very carefully and cautiously, the most valuable thing that you have is your soul. Last question, why? Or rather, I'm sorry, when should you come to Jesus? And because of our time, I'm just going to use two or three verses. Number one, the Bible says now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. You can't change the past, you don't know the future. All you have is right now. The great word in the Bible is today. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:15. So today is the accepted time. Three things could happen. You could die, Jesus could come back, and your heart could become harder. So don't put it off and don't delay. When should you come to Jesus? You should come to Jesus right now. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another second. The Lord could come back at any time. And death, we could meet death at a very unexpected hour.